The Bible is full of stories of those who overcame the darkness. They faced challenges and they allowed God to work through them. If we were to look at Moses, we would see his story. If we were to look at Jeremiah, we would see his story. If we looked at David, we would find ourselves in the Psalms where he found himself struggling to overcome the darkness. You see, throughout the Bible, where there are those who find themselves facing circumstances that they have to face up to in order to experience what God has for their life. And today, it may very well be that you're in church today and you have something that you need to face up to in order to experience what God has for you. In fact, it may very well be you'll be just like Paul, who finds himself after a number of challenging experiences, realizing that the only thing that will sustain him is powerful relationships, significant words from God, and a time to be refreshed and renewed by God. And today, if you're here and maybe you're asking yourself, how do I make it through this part of my journey? What you may discover is that the reality is that God is going to bring someone into your life that will encourage you along the way. And as you're encouraged, God will begin to speak to you in a new and vivid way through his word. And as his word begins to speak to you, that season you'll live through might refresh you and renew you. Christina was a young girl the very first time she was abused. She was abused as a little girl, and it began to paint for her a picture of life that was absolutely horrible. Soon she found herself abandoned, and after a little while she found herself placed in an orphanage to be forgotten. She would never see her family again. She would never see the relationship that connected to her past. She only had the dismal outlook that happens when someone goes through painful moments like that. Well, Christina found herself in an orphanage in Romania, and we as a church, when I think about what God has allowed us to do during this last number of years, and in particular this last year, she found herself at a camp that we as a church family have helped happen for the very first time. 75 orphan children and 75 kids from homes inside of a church there gathered together in one place. Christina, the very last time that I saw her, was so angry that she had cut her body numerous times and smashed what she had through a window, destroying the room that she was staying in. Well, Christina found herself at camp this past Monday. She got on a bus because there was nothing better going on, but she didn't want to be there. She got there and she told those who were sponsoring her, "If you don't let me go home, I'll run away." They looked at her and said, "You'll not run away and you won't go home because we spent money for you to experience this and you're going to stay here." So Christina began to fight with other orphan kids. You see, the only way she'd ever been able to deal with what she hurt, her hurt and her pain and her darkness, was to fight. Then one day on Wednesday, all of a sudden she began to hear a song that began to speak to her heart. She began to hear words that began to change her perspective. On Thursday morning, she sought out the person she had told that she had cut herself, and she told that she had been through difficulty, and she said to her, "Something's changed. I don't feel angry anymore. I don't know what to do because I've been mad so long. But you said, I know that God's at work in me. And I don't even understand what I'm feeling right now, but it's a feeling I've never had before." You see, in her darkness, the light of the gospel penetrated into her world. And she looked on Saturday as she left yesterday, getting on the bus. 75 mostly rebellious kids got on a bus on Monday. On Saturday, they began to weep because they did not want to leave the place where they had found peace and solitude, hope and meaning. You see, they've been taught something that week. Everybody needs a hero. And it demands that we discover who our hero is. And for Christina, Jesus became her hero. And that hero changed her life. Paul had the same need. Paul went through the abuse of being hit by rocks, being shipwrecked, being overwhelmed by negative people and pain and difficulty. But what happened as a result of Paul living through being obedient in the midst of his journey, God began to work in his life. And what you discover is that at his low moment, one of his lowest moments, is where we find ourselves today in the Bible in Acts chapter 18. So if you have your Bible, open that text. And as you're opening there, here's what I want you to remember. By the time we get to the 18th chapter, Paul has been rejected by more people than you can count, is more lonely than you can ever imagine, has been overwhelmed by more circumstances, has seemed to be destined not to accomplish everything that he intended to do. And as a result, that overwhelming feeling hits him as he arrives at Corinth. Why do we know that? Because we realize that at Corinth, he sees everything about the world and nothing about God. It's in Corinth, if you recall, that this cosmopolitan city that was the hub of culture was where they worshiped Aphrodite, and that's where they had all of the temple prostitutes. Can you imagine 10,000 prostitutes in one place? It was a pagan place that Paul found himself. Discouraged, he was alone. He left everyone behind. And in this 18th chapter, he finds himself at a place where all of a sudden he is lonely and he's discouraged. And yet he's about to encounter God in the most intimate and personal way you can imagine. And what I want you to understand today is that when you find yourself at a low moment and the darkness seems to seep into where you are, it is in that moment that God becomes the most real and vivid aspect of who you are, as long as you fix your eyes on him, not your circumstances, not your situation, but instead you fix your eyes on Jesus. And so today, as you think about this passage, I want you to look at one verse where all of a sudden, at his dark, difficult moment, Jesus shows up. Look, if you would, at verse 9. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." I want you to think about it for a second. In the midst of his difficulty, heartache, and pain, God comes and says, "I'm with you, don't quit talking about me. I'm with you, don't be silent. I'm with you to help you through this. You're never alone." You can imagine at this crucial moment how critical that was, because Paul had much more to do in life. He had many more letters to write. He had many more opportunities to share. And in Corinth, it's here that he hears God speak to him. 6 different times in the book of Acts, the Lord shows up in Paul's life. I can't think of any more pivotal moment than this one in this 18th chapter, where all of a sudden, at his low point, God takes him to another high point. And it may be you're here today, and maybe you find yourself walking through difficulty, wondering which way to turn and how to experience what he has for your life. Maybe your dark moment nobody knows but you. Maybe you find yourself secluded away from everyone else, and in that darkness, you need the light of Jesus to shine on you. Well, if that's the case, then you come to church on a great day, because today we look at what it means to overcome darkness. And I want to begin by asking you a question. When you think about your own life, have you ever found yourself discouraged and alone? Have you ever found yourself at a place where you go, "You know what, there's nobody else with me. This is the most discouraging chapter of my life"? You see, the reality is getting Paul's experiences helps us, because we all have moments when we're discouraged. We all have moments when we're alone. And that discouragement and our loneliness, they all are there to help us learn how to depend on him and experience him in a more powerful way. And so today, you may have framed by way of reference how you look at your darkness. And today, I'm going to reframe it for you. Because today, I want you to realize that dark black frame that you frame around the reference point of your journey is not the right kind of framework. Because the framework that you need to see is that as you process through this part of your journey, God may have something amazing in store for you. And it is my prayer that in the days to come, if you encounter something that challenges who you are, causes you to stumble, that you'll stand back up in victory and realize that in this darkness, nothing will take me away from what God intends to do in my life. Nothing will cause me to take my eyes off of Jesus. Everything will cause me to focus in on Jesus. Because that's what Paul needed. That's what we need. But I want you to think about that. Think about when the last time you were discouraged or overwhelmed by loneliness. And because what you discover is, you come to that moment where you watch God intervene. And I want you to think about that question. Have you ever seen God intervene in a critical moment? Where all of a sudden, instead of being angry, you were peaceful. Instead of being lonely, you were content. Instead of being overwhelmed, you were satisfied. You see, here's what transpired. Oftentimes, at our critical moments, when we need it the most, that is when God shows up. It's when God becomes real to us. Oftentimes, when things are good, we float along, but then a crisis comes, and that crisis grabs hold of us and speaks to where we are, because we realize that we are not going to be able to live beyond that crisis unless we allow God to become everything in our life. And what you discover today is that Paul gets a reminder back into his journey of faith He gets it by people who come into his life. He gets it by what it is God says to him. And he gets it by the season of life that God opens up to him. And it may be you're here and you're saying to yourself, the best of what I will experience has already passed me by. No, it has not. The reality is that the best of what God has for you is in store for you. That's why he has a future and hope plan for each one of our lives that absolutely connects us into his purpose. As he reveals himself to us, we get empowered to become more effective, to have more meaning and purpose in our life. So today I want you to think about when he intervened in your life and met you where you were at and did something powerful inside of you. Because for Paul, he came to overcome the darkness. And he came to experience the power of God at work in his life. And what I want you to see today is your dark moments, your difficult moments, are the moments when the light that shines is so bright and so brilliant that the peace that passes understanding becomes a part of who you are. And the hope that you rest your life in is anchored in him. You see, today, as you think about your life, what would it be like if your joy and your peace guided you through your dark moments? What you discover is that you had an amazing, amazing life that God had in store for you. And by way of principle, when you think about this, I want you to see and understand that it's in those dark moments that the door of brightness opens up to our lives. And what we see is as that door opens up, something begins to happen inside of us that is absolutely amazing. I can remember a dark moment in my personal journey. It's when our third child was born. And I'll never forget realizing she could die. And I can remember that moment of how dark it felt. And what was interesting was that in the middle of that dark moment, we were in the midst of one of the most celebrative, amazing things that could ever happen in a pastor's life, because we were breaking ground on a fabulous new place that was going to be the hub for ministry. And today on that property sits $20 million of buildings that when it happened 22 years ago, it was just a piece of ground. And I'll never forget that morning when Abby had been born just a few days before. And early in the morning, I found myself at the hospital in the darkest of moments, weeping inside of my heart because what I loved could possibly leave us. 3 pounds, 11 ounces, and stumbling in weight. And I'll never forget, as I sat there weeping over all of her body, tied into all kinds of machines, all kinds of wires, a nurse walked by and passed me on the shoulder and said, "It's going to be okay." You see, I never looked around to see who that was. But I know this, when we went back to see her that night, all the machines had been disconnected from her and she was breathing on her own and she lived. And I can remember that dark moment became a great moment of celebration. What about you? Do you remember those moments when you were trying to figure it out and all of a sudden God spoke to you? And it may very well be you're right in the middle of that process right now. So today may be the most wonderful day for you, because what you may do is you may come out going, "You know what? God can do something really, really amazing in me." Today we process the challenges that Paul faced, because he had 3 challenges. He had the challenge of relationships. He had the challenge of hearing from God. And he had the challenge of knowing that God has a season for every aspect of our lives. And so today I want you to think about your own journey, because it may very well be you're going to learn something that will really help you. The first thing we see as we look at this, as Paul begins his encounter at Corinth, God begins to bring into his life the bright lights at a dark moment that he needed the most, the people who would help him the most. You'll notice, if you would, as this passage unfolds, in verse 1, after these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth. And he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them. And they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. Verse 5, but when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads, I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household. And many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And when you read this, you realize something. At his low moment, God brought into his life bright lights. And it's interesting how he does it. The first person, people that he meets are Priscilla and Aquila, people he had not known, but they were tent makers. Now, what we realize is this. Paul probably was struggling economically, because Paul had dedicated this missionary journey not to make tents, but to win souls. But the Bible says that when Priscilla and Aquila show up, what he has to do is he has to start making tents with his friends because he's got to survive. You ever had an economic moment where you just needed to survive and you had to put it on the line to make it happen, work hard, see it happen? Well, here's what happens. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with hard work. There's nothing wrong with putting it to the plow and making sure you accomplish what it is that God intended. In fact, that's the secret of what happens in this nation. People work hard and accomplish great things. So all of a sudden, Priscilla and Aquila show up. And their responsibility is to come alongside, which, by the way, they end up being pivotal, vibrant parts of Paul's life from that day on. But they were new friends, but they were encouraging friends. And then what happens? Silas and Timothy show up. And you know as well as I do that they were not new friends at all. They were faithful friends. Don't you love having faithful friends? I look around this room. I got some faithful friends. People that I think about every day that have consistently lived out their faith. Some in this room being diagnosed with cancer didn't cause them to be less of a man. It caused them to become the man God wanted them to be. Some in here battling breast cancer and it didn't let it steal their joy or their direction. Some in here battling raising their children and dealing with things they've had to deal with and their faith got stronger. Faithful friends. Can you imagine what Paul felt like when Silas and Timothy showed up? I mean, because the Bible says as soon as they showed up, what does he do? He transitions back into declaring the truth, sharing the gospel, speaking the word, which tells you something. When you have the right friends around you, you have the capacity to accomplish great things. And what happens with Paul is all of a sudden he's getting new friends and faithful friends, but God doesn't stop there, does he? Because he brings two other men in his life. The Bible says Justice shows up, and who is a worshiper of God, which means he's looking for the answer, and Crispus shows up, who is the leader of the synagogue, who said, Paul, you have the answer, I want it. And his whole household comes to Christ. So you can imagine here all of a sudden that in his dark moment, these bright lights start shining. I mean, he's depressed in some ways probably with the reality of what's transpired. He's been in Athens. He dealt with all these intellectuals, all these people who feel so smart. And all that intellectualism, all it did was cause him to have disdain. While some had come to Christ, the Bible says in the last part of chapter 17 that at least four people came into a relationship with Jesus. There's no telling how many hundreds were listening to him. You remember what they said of him? He was the idle babbler. He's the man who had nothing to say but a bunch of babble. But when he gets to Corinth, he's even more discouraged, and then God brings people into his life. And what I want you to see today, and I don't want you to ever forget it, that God will place people in our lives to bless us and to encourage us if we're just willing to receive them. We're just willing to let them come into our lives and speak to who we are and speak into our hearts. I'm counseling somebody right now from another part of the country, and it's a great struggle for this person because they struggle in letting somebody speak into their life. You see, they've been taught and schooled that they should figure out on their own because they're intelligent. They have degrees. They have capacity to grasp a problem and break it down. But I'm going to you understand something. It doesn't matter how smart you are if you lose sight of the one who made you smart. Because what happens is if you don't see Jesus in the midst of your struggle, then what will happen is you're always just dependent on someone's intellectual insight. And it made Paul sick to be in Athens because they could worship an unknown God and have no idea what to say, but all they could say of him is, you're an idle babbler. You have nothing to say to us. My encouragement today is think about, first of all, what happens when God brings people in your life. And here's what I want you to realize, and don't forget this. Sitting around you in church, sitting around you in Bible study, connecting into what some experience God has for you, may be the very person who will become a bright light to you, who will shine light down on you, who will energize your life and make you feel like, you know what, that person, they're different from me, but they speak to my heart. Don't you love being around people like that? I had an older gentleman come up to me after the first service. We were talking about faithful friends. And he said, he looked at me and he said, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be your faithful friend forever. Well, you know, I sat there thinking, I believe it because I've watched his faithfulness. You see, when he gets in his car, it's never how many miles he has to drive because he's driving towards God's purpose. He's driving where God wants him to go. And one of the things we need to realize is it doesn't matter how far you have to drive. It does matter what you're driving for. And if you're driving to experience God, it's amazing. So the first thing we see are these bright lights that come in that dark moment for him. But then we see God speaking. The second thing that we process through to grab hold of are the brilliant words that come at a critical time to meet a critical need. You see, there couldn't have been more powerful words penned for Paul than when God intervened and said to him what he said to him at this time. Because you'll notice he says several things very powerfully. In fact, he says five things. that I want you to see and not miss. Five things to not miss as we look at this passage. The first thing I want you to see is notice how he approaches the problem. Verse 9, and the Lord said to Paul, and in the night by a vision, do not be afraid any longer. What does he say? He says, set aside fear, because if you allow fear to define who you are, you'll never experience what I intend for your life. It's amazing how gripping fear can be. Fear can cause us to miss some of the greatest experiences of our lives. Fear. And what you and I need to see today as we think about our lives, if fear defines us, faith will not define us. But if our faith defines us, fear will never have the privilege of being able to take hold of where we are and direct us a particular way. You see, today, as you think about your own journey, ask yourself, has fear taken up residence in some part of your life? Are you afraid the very things you dream of won't happen? You see, for Paul, can you imagine how discouraging this overall experience had been? I mean, he'd been at Thessalonica, he'd been at Philippi, he'd experienced an earthquake, he'd experienced being stoned. He'd been through all these different things. He'd been rejected by so many. But fear was the very thing that would cost him the most. And listen to me carefully. Fear will cost you the most. You get afraid, you'll miss it. My little son, when he was a little boy, one of the things he would do is he'd get afraid at night. And we taught our children a verse. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. And my little boy, just getting ready to turn 27 next month, the other day we were talking and he said, Dad, you know one of my favorite moments in life? Were those moments when I was afraid and I would come and he said, I would lay beside your bed and you'd place your hand on me and my fear would go away. He said, Dad, I still feel your hand. I still feel your presence with me. And I can remember that so vividly because he would come in 5 nights out of 7. I mean, and I would say, Caleb, you are not getting in this bed. Lay down. I had this little mat that when I heard him coming, I'd pull the mat out. He'd plop down on the mat and he'd reach his hand up. And it's amazing. You could feel the fear gripping his hand. And then all of a sudden, you'd see him go loose. And he'd sleep all night there. Now, every once in a while, he didn't live out his faith because he'd sneak into bed after we went to sleep again. And we'd wake up, and between us was an obstacle. But most of the time, he'd live out his faith. Let me ask you, what about setting aside your fear? What would happen? But then you'll notice he says something else to him. Not just set aside your fear. Look at verse 9 and following. But go on speaking and do not be silent. You know what God tells Paul? Keep telling the story. And listen, if there's ever been a day that we should keep telling the story, it is now. In this day in which we live, we need to keep telling the story. What does God say to his life? You don't be silent. You keep telling what it is. Keep speaking. And listen carefully. If you are in a moment of discouragement, if you feel alone, keep speaking truth out of your mouth. Keep revealing truth. What God says to him, you can't allow that to define you. In your silence, you melt away. But when you begin to speak, you're empowered to be effective. There's a third thing he said. Look at verse 10. Notice what he says here. Because all these words are so powerful. For I am with you. Sounds like Matthew 28:20, doesn't it? Because what you discover is we must never forget he's with us. Isn't that a great thought? You ever had a friend that said, hey, I'm with you, but they disappeared? You ever had somebody say, man, I am right there with you? And when you needed them the most, they were gone? You ought to be a pastor. It's amazing. It is one of the most amazing, astonishing things. I've had a principle that I've used through all the years, that oftentimes the people you pour the most into, the quickest they'll leave you. You'll talk to them, pray for them, counsel them, guide them, put resource in their hand, and then because they operate with their feelings, well, you know, you didn't make me feel good. You know what my saying on that is? Take a hike. Because the reality is, you have basically said, I'm not going to be with you. And what I love about what happens here is all of a sudden, it's God saying to him, I'm with you. Don't you love that thought? I bet if I took a guy like Bryant who pastored for years, I said, Bryant, name me 5 people who at the most critical moment in your life left you. He could name them that quick probably. Because it's easy for people to leave us. But let me tell you what God does for Paul. He makes it clear. And by the way, if you look at the end of the story, 2 Timothy and other places, you'll see him identifying people who left him. A guy named Alexander. Alexander was the pits to Paul. He didn't like him at all because he walked away. But what did he say? Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. And what you discover is people will come and go. People will come and go. I think about some people who've been in this building who are not here anymore for no good reason other than they missed the opportunity to experience you. I mean, the truth, think about it for a second. A lot of people who used to come here, they were still here. They get to know you. And wouldn't that be an amazing moment? Think about how amazing you are. I mean, you would be right there for them, wouldn't you? Some of you sitting and saying, I'm not very amazing right now. I'm discouraged. Well, the truth is, you'll get over that, and you'll be amazing again. But what happens about God is, he says to him, I will never leave you. Isn't that a great assurance? I'm sure my buddy Russ was going through his treatment for cancer. I'm sure one of the great comforts you get is God's always with you. When I think across this room, the people who battle breast cancer, like Dolores and others, I think, you know what? God's with them. It's a very assuring thing. But then he says something else to him. Not only is he with him, but look how he says this. And no man will attack you in order to harm you. Can you imagine how powerful that was, having already lived through the earthquake and having lived through being beat up and all the other things? And what did he say here? I'll protect you. You know, sometimes when you're going through difficult times, you just need a refuge, a place to go to. And here's what God says to him. You're going to be in one of the most pagan cities in the world, but I'm going to protect you. It's kind of like a little girl who found herself on the bus going to Sirduc, Romania this week. She didn't know who her hero was watching over her, but she had a big plan for that girl's life. Because when she asked the little girl, when is your birthday? The little girl looked at her and said, I don't have birthdays. I don't know when I was born. So that little girl didn't realize that girl went out on her own, bought her a cake, came back and had this amazing birthday party for her. And can you imagine? That girl may not know the biological moment that she came into the world, but spiritually she'll never forget that somebody cared enough to bring into her life a birthday moment. I think about that little kid and I think, you know what? She'll have hope because that was how God protected her and brought her that moment where she could experience what God has for her life. I want you to not only notice that he'll protect us, but there's one final thing that the Lord says here. Notice the final thing that he says to him. For I have many people in this city. When you read this, you come away with something that's very important. There's always more than meets the eye. Let me tell you what God says to Paul. Don't judge what you see by your eyes. You see, I never judge who we are and what we're about as a church just by who's in attendance. I'm always aware that God's up to things that I could never be able to put a finger on. He's doing amazing things. And what he says here, and it's interesting what God does. God opens up a window to him and says, look, you can't even see all that I've got in store for you. You see, none of us probably would have ever dreamed that we'd have the privilege to be able to be involved in so many amazing things as a body of believers. This past week, Chester and Cheryl McClure delivered what you as a body made a choice to do by way of statement to kids at a school that need to be encouraged. 5,000 different items were bought. An entire load of stuff was brought into that school. Think about it for a second. What happens when the kid at that little elementary school picks up a pencil that you bought, picks up and uses a piece of tape that you bought, holds a piece of paper that you bought? You see, what we gotta realize, there's always more than meets the eye. And what God was saying to Paul was, don't spend your life just trying to analyze your little world inside of you. Look beyond you. Listen, the quickest way to a downward spiral is to look inside of yourself and never look at anybody else. And here's what God was saying. He was saying, listen carefully. I'm with you, and things you ever dreamed of, I got lots of people here. And what he was really saying was, when you look at it by way of principle, God will speak to us in our most critical moments. And when he speaks to us, he will bring the most comforting words to us. Don't you love the fact that when you pick up the word, it speaks to you? 3 different moments this week, in the midst of interacting with those who are going through challenges. The very word I had read that morning was exactly applicable to where they were at that point in their journey. Listen, God will speak and comfort you. What's cool about us is we just don't need one verse. We get the whole book. I mean, don't you love that thought? That you can pick this up and say, Lord, speak to me. Grab hold of my heart. Guide me. Well, then in one single verse, we see what transpires in that third processing of life. I want you to be reminded again. Now, think about it for a second. First of all, God brings bright lights at our dark moments. Secondly, he'll speak to our lives in the most amazing way by giving the most powerful words that are brilliantly written straight out of the voice of God. And when we get there, he'll open up a door of opportunity for us. And what he will do is he'll give us the perfect time to process our feelings. You see what happened with Paul was? God gave him the perfect time to process his feelings because he realized that if he didn't take a moment, he would miss the best. And the Bible says, look how it says it in verse 11. And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Isn't that interesting? I mean, you get the picture? He puts him in the most pagan place to have the most refreshing moment. Listen, sometimes we are in places where it's most challenging for us, but it can be most refreshing. It can be those moments that God uses in our life. I want you to think about it for a second. What if you took a moment and let God refresh you? What would happen? You see, we live rat race lives, don't we? Trying to do too much, trying to make things happen too quick. We go at things so fast. Sometimes we miss the most treasured moments. Weekend before last, not this weekend, but the one before, we had the privilege of having our granddaughter spend the night with us for the first time, two nights. And we got the warning on that a few weeks before it was happening, and we blocked our calendar. And I'm going to tell you, it's something refreshing when you hear knees and feet chasing you around the house. That little girl going wherever you're going. And you know what's amazing? Is when she gets to you, she stops and she's on those hands and knees. She sits up and she says, take me, hold me. And that's exactly what happens to Paul at Corinth. Paul is there and the Lord says, I'm going to hold you. I'm going to refresh you. Can you imagine how powerful that was? You see, for me, those are moments made for worshiping. And you see, Nora, she can't speak. She can make a few noises. One of these days she'll say something like, Gramps, you're the best in the world. But I'm teaching her that already. But she, not there yet. She ain't got that down yet. She's still working on it. I'm teaching her. I said, look, when you walk into church, say, it's the best pastor in the world. Learn how to say the right things. When I have a birthday, I want you to get up here and speak about how wonderful you like me. The truth is, Jesus shows up, speaks to his heart, and refreshes him. And when you look at this passage, one of the things you realize is that God will always open a season of refreshment following a trial. See, for Paul, I don't think he could have gone any further had God not said, you know what, you get a year and a half. I had the privilege of interacting with a friend or a couple friends from our past this week, and it was interesting because as we interacted, the more I talked, the more I realized that that was a season that God did amazing things in our lives. We started there when we were 26. We left there when we were 39. It was an amazing season. And we all have seasons. You see, right now, I'm in a season realizing that this is the hour that God wants to do amazing things through our people, through our church, this team going to Argentina, the team going to Tanzania, the teams that have been to Ukraine and Romania, the teams that are taking school supplies to children, the teams that are going to Big Oak to minister, the teams that are willing to teach English as a second language, the teams who are willing to commit their heart to teach children back in our children's area, the teams that are willing to reach out and make a difference. This is an amazing season of time. And so when I think about that, I ask you a question. Are you watching and listening? Are you watching and listening for the keys to overcome your darkness? Because here's what you're going to learn. Listen carefully. In your darkness, He will bring somebody who will help you through that chapter, that dark moment. In my darkest moment post being diagnosed with cancer, God put in my life people, beginning with my wife, who took away my darkness, comforted my spirit, moved me toward victory. He'll put people in your life. Secondly, He'll speak straight to you. Just read His word. If you feel overwhelmed, let Him overwhelm you. Because when He overwhelms you, something amazing will happen. And as you feel that moment where He begins to speak to you, open your heart up to a season of refreshment. Because watch this carefully. What He refreshes, He'll redirect. And as He redirects you, all of a sudden you'll realize, I have an amazing life. You see, my life is kind of an interesting life. I spent 30 years pastoring in the largest churches in America. And at a very unique, dynamic moment in my life, God changed all of that. And with the comfort of faithful friends and with the provision of His written word and a season of refreshment, God birthed what you're experiencing today that we call One Heart. And I can be honest to say to you, these last 6 years have been the most refreshing of my life. You don't know why? I can meet Ginger's mother from Mississippi and be blessed because I've seen her face one time before. You see, the truth of the matter is, you get too many people in any place, hard to remember anyone. In this place, I can remember who you are. I can remember what you're up to. And I can even kick you in the tail when you need it to move you forward. Amen? And you sometimes you need a kick, don't you? Sometimes you don't need somebody to pat you on the shoulder. You need somebody to kick you with a size 10 shoe and say, get going where you need to go. And in fact, to be honest with you, I've got a list of people I'm getting ready to kick that aren't being obedient to church like they need to be. And as a result of that, I'm going to say to them, it's time for you to step up. You want to get into darkness? You miss out being in his house, and things can get dark real quick. Stay in his house and watch what happens. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for how faithful you are, how you work in our lives. Thank you for the privilege of being able to come together on this day and hear your words speak to our hearts and lives. I thank you for how faithful you are, Lord, that you bring people into our lives. When I look across this room, there are faithful, faithful people, men and women, students that bless my life because they love you and they love your church and they love what we're about. And so, Lord, I pray that today's message will sink deep into the heart of anybody who's facing darkness, anybody who's struggling to overcome. May they not doubt what you can do. May they trust you. And I bless you, Lord, for the opportunity to experience you today in this amazing thing we call church at One Heart. We worship you in Christ's name. Amen.